Hi, I'm Taylor Dominique, and I'm here with Riley O'Shaughnessy. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. And you?
I am good. So we're here to talk about your paper. So what is the topic of your paper?
It's about the Polish resistance against both, I guess, the German occupiers and the Soviet Union.
Oh, that's interesting.
And kind of how nationalism, to some extent, played a role.
Oh, cool. So can you summarize your paper?
So, yeah, it's pretty much, I start talking about, I guess, the build-up to World War II and the invasion. So I talk about the Polish military and their, I guess, militarization prior to Germany's 1939 invasion. I talk kind of about their strategy, but at the same time, they're not really feeling the war will go well for them.
Yes, I got that feeling.
And then after that, I talk about what the resistance is, kind of what happened with it, like why it was created, by who, where it was located, and what they did. I talked about, I think, the ZVZ. They're like this group that, you know, they're kind of the more stereotypical resistance. If you think of a Polish resistance, they're the, like, sabotage-type person.
Ah, okay.
I don't know if many people think about the Polish resistance. I do.
But if you do, it's a good insight.
And then I go and talk about, I guess, resistance against the Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm.
And why there's little evidence or sources from there. And I also talk... I spend most of my paper, I think, talking about Operation Tempest, or the 1944 Warsaw Uprising, which is when the Home Army, or the Polish Resistance, was like, yo, Germany, get out. We don't want the Soviets, we don't want Germans.
We just want to be our own country.
And then that didn't go too well for anybody involved, especially for the entire city of Warsaw.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it.
And then I talk about how the aftermath, I guess, of the uprising and just the resistance in general and how it kind of faded and, yeah.
Seems like an interesting topic.
Thank you.
So you mentioned that Soviet sources were hard to find. Do you think that there was a reason for this?
I think I talk a little bit about it in my paper, but I think that it was super hard to find most Polish or Soviet, I guess, sources.
Mm-hmm.
Is because the Soviet Union tried really hard to cover it up. You know, after World War II, Poland would become a Soviet puppet, I guess.
Yeah.
So they did not want the Polish people that they now are overlords of to look back in history and be like, oh, we actually just like a decade ago, you know, resisted them.
Yeah.
We could easily do it again. Maybe not easily, but... They don't want that idea to be in their mind.
I think that makes a lot of sense. It's really interesting.
Kind of like a control.
Yeah, thing. Definitely. So why do you think that the Poles would want to ally with the Soviet Union?
So they didn't like the Soviets. They never hit it.
Yeah, I think there's good reason for that.
You know, there's that whole history they had with Russia. but because of the German occupation of Poland... many of the Polish, I guess, high command realized that they would not be able to succeed against the Germans if they were still enemies with the Soviets. So, I think the prime minister of the government in exile, he went to Russia and was like, yo,
help us out?
wanna be friends for at least this war, like, just not
mm-hmm.
whatever. But Stalin was like, pretty much gave him the demand that the Prime Minister's Party, which was like the Polish Peasants Party, would be a minority party.
Okay.
And the Communist Party would be installed. And that they would... That Poland would have to... cede? Yeah, cede. I think so, cede.
Yeah.
Poland would have to cede the eastern half of it that mm-hmm. Russia had occupied.
Yeah.
And the Brest... Or not the Brest... Molotov-Ribbentrop Pact.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so they felt so they ended up not succeeding.
Yeah.
But they thought if they were able to help, or if they were to get help from Russia,
yeah.
they would be able to get their independence from Germany.
Yeah. So you kind of think that they had more faith in the Soviets to help them out than the Germans? Did they consider the Germans more of a threat or something like that?
Well, I think because they're occupied by Germany, they obviously, I guess, saw Germany as the bigger threat.
That's true.
They didn't want to be anybody's, I guess, lackey.
Yeah.
So they knew that the German military was way too powerful for them to just rise up. They thought if they were able to get aid from the Soviets, that maybe they'd be able to rise up.
I think that makes the most sense.
I'm sure they still are a bit threatened
by
the Soviets, but...
I mean, it makes logical sense why they would turn to them.
Yeah.
So in your paper, you talk about Stefan Baluch.
Yeah.
Fighting in several fronts. Was this common at the time, or...?
So based off of what I've read, it was not uncommon for many of the Polish, I guess, soldiers during the 1939 invasion of Poland. Mm-hmm. They would go, I guess, after being, you know, kicked out of their country, they'd follow the government in exile to France and Paris.
Oh, okay.
Some of them would go just directly to England and start preparing.
Yeah.
But a good majority of them went to Paris. They fought during the invasion of France in 1940. And afterwards, they were pretty much all in England. I think Churchill, he created a SOS, not SOS, like some secret organization to kind of train spies type stuff. Like
yeah,
espionage.
I've heard of that.
So a lot of the people that were being trained were Poles.
Okay.
With the goal of, you know, being trained to be secret type stuff.
Yeah.
And be able to partake in anti-government or anti-German resistance from in Poland. So a lot of these people would be then paratrooped or paradropped into Poland in, like, 1943, 1944.
That's really interesting.
And some of these Poles fought in, like, the Battle of Britain in 1940 and 41 as pilots. Though a lot of them were discriminated against. The Pollacks, I think, is what they were called as, like, a derogatory term.
Interesting.
They were there, and a lot of Poles fought, well, not a lot, but a good number of Poles fought in Normandy.
I didn't know that.
A good, some other also fought in Iran and Iraq and also Egypt.
Oh.
There's a story from Iran about a Polish artillery company, I think, who met a bear.
Oh.
Someone had a bear and they thought it'd be pretty funny if they bought a bear as a mascot. Yeah.
I think that's pretty funny. That's interesting.
I think his name was Vojtech, and he ended up being a soldier. They taught him how to carry artillery crates.
another thing to fight against the Nazis. You know? So that's interesting. So you mentioned earlier, and with reading your paper, it was extremely interesting to read about Operation Tempest. Yes, Operation Tempest. You say other cities rose against the Germans. How successful were these?
So, a lot of these other uprisings, they weren't successful. I think there was only one kind of successful. But for the most part, they lasted a couple weeks or a couple months at most, before being put down by Germans. But I think it was Lublin or Łódź in Poland. Where they had a lot more success. I think it was Łódź. They had a success, for the most part, kicking the Germans out.
Okay.
But, unfortunately for them, the Soviets were just kind of doing their thing.
Yeah, kind of left them.
Yeah, so they walked into the city and pretty much took the city from this Polish resistance. So, for the most part, all of them failed.
Yeah. But they were trying.
They did try. That's all that matters. They got an A+ for effort.
Exactly. So what led to your focus on Baluch?
Baluch. It's his name. There's like an L with, I don't know, Polish language. Yeah. It's a weird language.
It is.
So Baluch, what led to my focus
on? Yeah.
I felt that his, I guess, translation of his writings was... It gave an accurate, or I guess a first-person view on what the uprising was like, to some extent. Showing that soldiers, you know, crawling through mud and bushes, almost getting shot at.
Mm-hmm.
It talked about kind of the strategic, I guess, fluctuation of it, of Warsaw with, like, Poland having, or the Polish territories having to unite.
Mm-hmm.
And it also showed the, I guess, Allied effort to supply mm-hmm. Poland with the plane that was shot down, oh. but, you know, distracted. So it was kind of a deus ex machina for them.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it provided, I guess, aspects of the war from on the ground. And also, it was a pretty cool story.
Yeah, definitely.
It was very heroic. I think he was awarded, he and his squad mates, I think, were awarded several high honors. I think the highest in the Polish military.
Sounds like they deserved it. So, awesome. So, why do you think the German High Command ordered the destruction of Warsaw?
So, I think that they didn't like the city because mm-hmm. it was the capital of Poland, which is a group of... The Nazis notoriously did not like the Poles.
Yes.
They had this whole racial thing. And also, in 1943, there were... After the, I think, liquidation of the Warsaw Ghetto.
Okay.
A bunch of Jews in Warsaw, you know, reasonably got spooked.
Yeah, I think
started thinking something was going on, that there's a reason they're all getting taken away.
Yeah.
So, a lot of Jewish members of, I guess, resistance,
mm-hmm.
They rose up in Warsaw in 1943. They didn't have much success,
mm-hmm.
But they still, you know, caused, like, a major thorn in the German side because they had to divert troops from the Russian front, which at this point wasn't going that well.
Probably not happy about that.
Yeah, probably not. So there was kind of that instability mm-hmm. that they could tell in the city. And then, you know, 1944 came along. The Poles rose up again.
Mm-hmm.
The German High Command was probably a bit irritated at Warsaw.
Yeah.
Because they rose up twice. They're Poles. So they, you know, kind of... Also, probably, to some extent, a tyrannical just, like, teach a lesson. Like, this is what happens. If you do this again, all the other cities are going to be burned.
Yeah, definitely.
So,
in your paper, you talk about how the Polish seem to have prepared for the invasions of the Germans and the Poles, but in the end, they didn't seem to put up that much of a fight.
Yeah.
So, even though they prepared, why were they so unprepared, do you think?
So, I think it was in 1937 or 38
mm-hmm.
that the Polish High Command began the truly militarization the true militarization process.
Mm-hmm.
It might have been 36. It was 36. they, in their war colleges, they devised plans and
mm-hmm.
set up how much the planes that they should get, how many planes, ordered the organization of all the different units and divisions in Poland.
Yeah.
So they were trying to plan, but it was a 5-year plan that they had. As most countries do their things, you know, economic 5-year plans.
Yeah.
So, they were a bit off, unfortunately mm-hmm. for them. They were off by maybe if they'd started in 1934. They'd probably do a better job at defending.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they didn't have, their equipment wasn't that good compared to Germans. Mm-hmm. German tanks, German equipment were very... I guess, focused. The Germans focused a lot on their equipment during 1936, 1937,
mm-hmm.
While the Poles used a lot of French tanks and French equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And the French, they were giving the Poles equipment that they had no use for anymore.
Because mm-hmm.
they were somewhat developing new equipment.
Mm-hmm.
So the Poles were just getting their old ones. And the French weren't developing much new or many new technologies other than a couple of tanks that they were keeping for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So Poland was getting a lot of like 1920 equipment.
Yeah.
A lot of outdated. So when the war came, the Polish High Command, they kind of knew.
Yeah.
I think one of them was like, one of them predicted that Poland could only hold for 6 months.
I think I've heard that before. Yeah.
Against Germany.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of hoped that France and England would be able to
help them out a little bit.
Attack Germany from the Maginot or whatever, Alsace-Lorraine. But that didn't work out for them, so.
Nope.
And then, you know, the Soviets came, and they were like, well, that threw our plans. Yeah. Wasn't expecting
really,
that.
Really messed it all up. That's really interesting. So you also talk about in your paper a little bit about foreign contacts and foreign contacts, and I thought that was really interesting. Do you think there was much significance to that, or what kind of do you think about the foreign contacts of these Polish people?
So I think it was important, but it didn't work out in their favor as much as it, I guess, should have or could have. So England and the U.S., they were pretty much promised, I guess, help to Poland. But during the Warsaw Uprising in 1944, the Soviet Union ordered all Allied planes, so English and American planes, flying over. If they had dropped, or if they had a mission to give supplies to Poland, that they were not allowed in Polish air bases. So the Allies were severely restricted in their ability to give proper aid to Poland. So, I mean, England helped a lot with sending or training veterans.
You talked
them in.
About that.
But for the most part, they weren't able to.
So it had some potential, but it just didn't work out as planned.
Thanks, Stalin.
Yep. Stalin. So, for anyone doing research on this, do you have any advice or suggestions for them, looking back now that you've finished this paper?
Rethink your major.
That might be a good one. I really...
I don't think I have any advice. I can't think of any, at least. Maybe try your best. Don't procrastinate.
Do what you can.
As soon as you get a requirement, a thing you need to do,
do it.
Start it.
Yes, that is very true. Well, that was a super interesting interview. Thank you for being here, Riley.
Thank you for both having me here and also complimenting my side of the... You complimented the interview.
Yeah, so. Well, it was a very interesting paper as well, and I recommend it to anyone looking to know more about Polish nationalism and resistance during World War II.
I guess you and I differ there, because I do not recommend my paper.
Well, I guess that's the beauty of history. We all have different...
Different ideas.
And what we want to research. So, yeah, have a great day.
Thank you for having me.